I'll read a passage from the 12th chapter of John. Begin reading with verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This said he, signifying what death he should die. I read from verse 20, continuing through verse 33 of the 12th chapter of John. We have introduced here what I would call the practical side of Christianity, Christian living. And they were up at Jerusalem at the feast. There were some Greeks that came up there. And they came to Philip and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, I'm sure that these folk had heard about Jesus. Maybe they had heard of the miracles that he had done. And they had formed some idea in their minds about Jesus. But that wasn't satisfying them. They wanted to see Jesus. And that's what the world is looking for and wanting today. They're wanting to see Jesus. Perhaps there's more being preached about Jesus in the world today than there ever has been at any time before. The airwaves are filled with preaching about Jesus. pulpits all over the land are being filled with ministers preaching about Jesus. People are hearing a great deal about Jesus today, but they're wanting to see some of this that they're hearing about. They're wanting to see it manifested. They have a right to expect to see something when they hear so much. These Greeks wanted to see Jesus. And the disciples went and told Jesus. And he says, it's time now. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now this is a very pertinent point and truth to my little discussion tonight. To the idea of seeing Jesus. Manifesting Jesus. Jesus said this in particular concerning himself. But he turned it right around in the next verse and applied it to us. When he said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I wonder if maybe we might discover in this thought a little secret. He says, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. We're talking about seeing Jesus. And the point that seems to be dealt with here in these verses is that if we want to manifest Jesus and reveal him to this world, there must be some dying out to the self-life. Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It's only through dying to the self-life, the flesh life, that we can manifest Jesus. Jesus abides in the hearts of his people. But sometimes the veil of flesh is so dense that he can't shine through. We must by some means get that veil of flesh transparent. The only way we can do that is by dying to the flesh, the things of the flesh, and to the self-life, and dying to the world, and all of those things that would mar the image of Christ, and let him shine out in us. He said, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. But we are the light of the world only through our proximity to him, and only as he shines out through us. I remember when a boy, we didn't have lights like these then in those days, but we had kerosene lamps. And I remember seeing my mother, as evening came on, polishing the globes of those lamps, the chimneys. If they got smoked up or or steamed up or marred, the light wouldn't shine out like it should. So she would give them a polishing every evening to have them good and clear so the light would shine out. That's something like you and I must do. The world's wanting to see Jesus today. But they can't see Jesus in us when the veil of flesh is dense. We must do some shaping up. We must do some polishing. We must become transparent as far as our personal interests and our self-life are concerned. Get the veil of flesh thin so that the light of Christ can shine out through us. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 2nd verse, "We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." The only thing that will commend you and me as Christian people to man's conscience is a manifestation of the truth in us, in our living. John said in 2 John, his epistle, he said, "I have no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in truth." Now that lets us know that truth is something more than what you tell, but it's a way of life, walking in truth, living the truth. Paul said manifesting the truth. By manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. God help you and me to be sincere in what we're doing. And if we name His name, that we will be able to manifest Him through our manifestations of the truth. Paul again said in Galatians, the 1st chapter, verses 15 and 16, he said, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the Gentiles." Now that's an important thought. God wanted to reveal His Son in Paul, that He might preach Him. In other words, Paul was not qualified and eligible to preach Christ till he could reveal Christ, till he could manifest Christ, until he could set forth the divine virtues and graces of Christ in his life. It pleased God to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him. You and I cannot properly represent Christ in this world unless we can reveal Christ, manifest the divine virtues and graces of God in our lives. My prayer so much is for you and me, myself and my brethren, is that God will add to us and increase us in the divine virtues and graces of God in our lives all along the line, in every phase and area of our lives. Increasing us in the things of God. Paul said again, Galatians 4:19, he said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth till Christ be formed within you. Christ be formed within you. Now that's what it means to be born again. There's a great deal of talk today, more than has ever been in my time, I suppose, about being born again. And I guess President Carter has kindly popularized the idea of being born again. He makes that profession of being a born-again Christian. And we haven't had people in the White House before this that made that profession. But by some means or other, the idea has become popular, and there's a lot being said today about being born again. Well, what it means to be born again is to have Christ formed within you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, till Christ be formed within you. The real Christ life be imparted to you, and that you be blessed with the fullness of God in your life. The world's wanting to see this Christ they're hearing so much about today. And the only way that they have of seeing Him is in His people, in His children. If they can't see Christ in you and me and other Christian people, they'll never see Christ at all. We need born-again people. Christ born in them. Till Christ be formed within you. Romans 8:29 says, whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conformed to the image of His Son. I'm repeating what I have said numbers of times, and you've heard me say it numbers of times, that nothing unlike Christ is ever going to get into heaven. He's the model. He came down here and lived among men to show us the perfect example of a Christian life. What a Christian life is. And we must come to that. He's the model. Nothing unlike Him will ever get into heaven. We can theorize on this. We can talk about this. It makes beautiful subject matter. But again, God help you and me to be sincere about what we're doing. And to realize that if we name the name of Christ, that means a great deal. It means a great deal to Him and to us. And when we do, there must be a manifestation of the divine virtues and graces of God in our lives, conforming us to that image. You and I, all of us are going to have to be just like that before we ever get to heaven. Let us make no mistake about it. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 18, he said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now there are some little secrets involved in this text. We all, with open face, face in the Scriptures, is a symbol of intellect and of countenance. The sense of that then would be all of us having an open heart and an open mind to the things of God. be in a condition and attitude that God can deal with us. That God can work in us the will and the do of His good pleasure. Receptive to the admonitions of the Spirit and the instructions of God's Word, and responsive to all of God's dealings with our soul. Open mind, open heart. Through this brings us into a state and condition where God's Spirit can do a work in our hearts. And the work that the Spirit does in our hearts is to change us into that same image. As Paul said, till Christ be formed within you. Here's the process right here. And as we meditate on the things of God, as we read God's Word, as we study the truths that are there, and open our hearts and our minds to those principles of truth that are revealed to us in the teachings of the New Testament, it brings us into a position where the Spirit of God can work on our hearts and transform us and change us and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And conform us to the image of His Son. Change into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is a spiritual process. A work of the Spirit in our hearts. Still thinking of that image, we read in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 10, he's describing salvation here. And the work and the effects of salvation. And he says, ye have put on the new man. That new man is Jesus. We're told in the 13th chapter of Romans, in verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Ye have put on the new man. Adam was the old man. He was the first Adam. Christ the second Adam, and he's the new man. And he says, we have put off the old man, which is corrupt with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which after God is renewed in the image of Him that created him. Renewed back into the image of God. That's a full and free and uttermost salvation, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the effect of that, to restore and renew us in the image of God. Just like man was when God made him, when he came fresh from the hand of God. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. The image. There's a lot said in God's Word about the image. And you and I are set in God's Word to bear the image of the heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. Every Christian, true Christian, is to bear the image of the heavenly. And is to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus and changed from nature to grace and conformed to the image of Him that created him. When God made man, He made him in the image and likeness of God. When he came fresh from the hand of God, there was not a thing wrong with him. He was good and very good. God looked it all over, his whole creation, including man, said it was all good and very good. Man lost that holy and righteous estate through sin, through transgression of the commandment of God. And as a result of that, plunged the whole world, all of his posterity, into sin. And all the trouble and heartache and distress and anguish and shame and remorse that we have in the world today is a result of what happened back there in the Garden of Eden. It is just snowballed into this that we have now. But God, in his mercy, sent his Son to open up a way of salvation that would deliver us from this present evil world and bring us out of sin, born us again in the image and likeness of his Son, restore us back to that state where we would be in his likeness. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, verse 1, he said, "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." This woman is a symbol of the New Testament church, the people of God in this dispensation of time. And the particular thing in this description of her that I'm interested in right now is her clothing. She was clothed with the sun. She appeared in the heavens, the ecclesiastical heavens, an exalted place, where God had raised up his people to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's where John saw her. And her clothing claimed the first attention. She was clothed with the sun. Says some other things about her, but I'm not talking about them now. I'm talking about this: putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the brightest luminary in the natural heavens is the sun. And that is a symbol of the brightest luminary in the spiritual heavens, which is the Son of God, Jesus. This woman then appeared here clothed with the Son of Righteousness, clothed with Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. She had on the Lord Jesus Christ. True holiness adorned her brow. And the jewels of truth and of beauty adorned her. And the divine virtues and graces of God enveloped her. That was her clothing. Clothed with the sun. Clothed with that nature, those attributes, those characteristics, those dispositions of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That was her clothing. Now that's what God wants out of you and me. And that's what he's going to have out of you and me, if he's able to reveal his Son in us. We can talk a lot about Jesus, but what God wants is to be able to reveal his Son in us. Reveal Christ, what Christ is. A Christian is a Christ-like person. One that lives like Christ. And he is wanting to reveal his Son in us today till the world can see Jesus. Said in the 19th chapter of Revelation, verses 7 and 8, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride hath made herself ready. Now the bride is the church, the people of God. You and me and other Christian people. His bride hath made herself ready, and to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Clothed with righteousness. God's righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ in his righteousness. Clothing the saints. It's the righteousness of saints. Some folks may think all the saints are going on to heaven, but this makes it clear there are some here, some living in this world, and that they who are saints living in this world are clothed with righteousness. That just simply means living and manifesting righteousness, the divine virtues and graces of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. Jesus admonished us in the third chapter of Revelation, verse 18. He said, I counsel thee, buy of me white raiment, that ye may be clothed. The only place we can obtain this that I'm talking to you about is through Jesus. Coming to Jesus. We don't get this by church joining. We don't get this by subscribing to any creeds or rituals. We get this by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives and being clothed with his divine virtues and graces. Amen. And to be able, under every condition of life, to manifest the divine virtues and graces of God. God help you and me to acquire that grace and that ability and that strength under God and through Christ, that we will be able to meet every problem of life and all of our tests and trials and provocations of life and go through them exactly like a Christian should, manifesting nothing at all but just the meekness and gentleness of Christ. From first to last. Buy me white raiment that you might be clothed. Now Jesus said in the 16th chapter of Revelation verse 15. He says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now what could that mean? Watch and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. All of these verses are dealing with the thought and summing up to the fact of our being completely enveloped in the divine virtues and graces of God. And in order to do that, the basic idea was laid in the passage that I read in the beginning. Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. There's some dying to be done to produce this and bring this about. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If you and I are going to be able to win souls for Christ and accomplish anything in the work and service of God, there must be a dying out to the self-life and the flesh life and the worldly life and all of those things that are contrary to righteousness and godliness, and just put on the Lord Jesus Christ, his meekness and his gentleness and his divine virtues and graces. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when that has been accomplished, the thing to do is maintain that. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and the see shame. Now what would the nakedness and shame be in this case? It would be that old self lie showing up. The things of the flesh manifesting themselves in you and me. All of that is to be eradicated from us when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we don't watch and keep our garments, maintain our experience, the old self lies going to begin to show up. The things of the flesh are going to begin to manifest themselves. That'll be our shame and nakedness showing forth. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see shame. The third chapter of Revelation, verse 4, this is the message of Jesus Christ to the church at Sardis. And he says, even in Sardis. Now, Sardis seemed to be in pretty bad shape. And the complaints were pretty strong against Sardis. But he said, even in Sardis there are some that have not defiled their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Right in the midst of all of that apostasy and all of that downgrading of the Christian profession and everything that was going on in Sardis, there were still a few that had not defiled their garments. Then he said, he that overcometh, I will grant to be clothed in white raiment. Folks, if we're going to wear this wedding garment, this righteousness of saints, this image of Christ, we must be overcomers. We must overcome in all of the things of the world and the flesh and the self and all the works of darkness and of evil around us. In Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse 22 and 23, he says, he has put all things under his feet, that's God, putting everything under Jesus' feet, and hath given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now, isn't that great? I emphasize again what I have said several times before, that everything that is written in the New Testament, regardless of how fantastic it may seem or how far out of this world it may appear to us, everything that's written in the New Testament is accessible to you and me. We can claim and we can possess all the promises of God. And everything that he describes about the Christian life, we can have that. Live that. Manifest that. Glorify God in that. Now, he said, he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's great, folks. It declares to us that it is God's will that you and I be filled with the fullness of God. Now, that's accessible to us. We can have that. Every one of us can be filled with all the fullness of God. Whatever you read in the New Testament about Jesus, that's the way He is. He's that way now. Jesus Christ, God's Word says, Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we can count on that. And whatever you read that Jesus was, or however He did, or the miracles He performed, or whatnot, whatever, He's that way now. You read about His mercy and His meekness and His tenderness and His compassion and all toward humankind. Well, that's the way He is now. But beyond that, He wants you and me to be that way. That's accessible to you and me. Filled with all the fullness of God. In the third chapter of Ephesians, in verse 17, he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now there's the crux of the whole matter right there. Paul wrote to the Gentile world of his day, he said, Christ in you is your hope of glory. Now he said to the Ephesians that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I say that's the crux of the whole matter. That's it right there. The indwelling Christ. Everything outside of that's a sham and a humbug. It's the indwelling Christ that counts, and that's all that counts. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the height and length and breadth and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The way that's accomplished is Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith. Christ accomplishes that in you and me, filling us. Jesus in you is just like leaven in bread. Jesus compared that. He said the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And as Jesus and His characteristics and His disposition and His nature and attributes are deposited in our soul, it works through our whole being, soul, spirit, and body, just like the leaven works through the bread. You take that leaven in that bread dough, and it works through all of that dough until it is not possible when that bread is finished and baked for you to take the least pinch of it without getting some of that leaven. It's in every particle of that dough. And any bit that you get of it, you'll get some of that leaven. He said Jesus in you's like that. The kingdom of heaven, like leaven, hidden 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And when Jesus is in your heart, working His works in you of His own good pleasure to will and to do, having His way with you in your heart and life, Anybody that touches any phase of your life is going to get some of Jesus there. It's all through you, soul, spirit, and body. And it'll be manifest there, and they'll get some of Jesus anywhere they touch your life. By any way and means they come in contact with you, they'll get some of this leaven, so to speak. Some of Jesus and His beauties and His glories that are being manifest in you and me. Let us remember that our responsibility as Christian people is to let the world see Jesus in us. Amen.